I'm grateful to Rob for reminding us about mission statements and visions, because at the moment we are testing the vision that we feel God has given us. And I hope that this sermon will help equip us in this. But do talk in your house groups about this. Ordinary people making an extraordinary God known. Come as you are. Join in. Be transformed. And we want to test whether that is God's word for us for this time, for our mission statement, for the things that we do, to be tested against that, like Rob's job is against his mission statement. So thank you for the reminder of that, and the fact that we can talk about this in house group, and when we get together in our next church meeting, whether we will adopt this or not. The other thing we said as part of this vision is that we would try and use the language of the corner shop. Now, that's most of the time really good, but there are some words that the Bible uses or that the church has used for a long time that are really unique and helpful. So I've actually put on the notice sheet three words I'm going to use: redeem, salvation, reconciliation, which aren't corner shop words. So I've written down what they mean because they will crop up in this sermon. We've had a break for a couple of weeks from our series teaching why we believe what we believe about the Holy Spirit. We've had Love Harefield, which was great, and an all-age service last week with special drama. I thought it'd be good to recap on where we've got to. In our first week, we acknowledged that the Holy Spirit is fully and truly God, as much God as Father and Son. And he has the unique role of being the uniting bonds in the Godhead, the means of community, the dynamic love glue between Father and Son. And he is also the means of community and the dynamic love glue between us and God. James helped us expand our view of the Holy Spirit beyond that of salvation, one of the words, and the church. The Holy Spirit is outside of, in the world, and he has been the active agent of creation. He fills and inspires people to be in the image of God, to be creative. And together we were encouraged to see how artistic skills and creativity are important to God and a gift to be valued both inside and outside of the church. Paul helped us to explore how God desired to be known, how he reveals himself, how his wisdom and his values and his ways are shown through the gifts of prophecy, of wisdom, and of knowledge. And this week we're going to explore the relationship between the Spirit and Jesus. I loved this image because we tend to think of the Spirit as Jesus' gift to the church, which he is. But before Jesus gave us the Spirit gave us Jesus. Before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there'd been a time, a considerable time, when God seemed to have gone quiet. God would never abandon his world. But as we're seeing over and over again, God is a gentleman. He will not force himself on people. He waits to be invited. He waits for the right time. And though it seemed as if he'd taken leave, as if the world had, he wasn't around, even as the world still resisted him, God was preparing it to receive the one who would save it. And when the time was right, there was a flurry of Holy Spirit life-transforming activity within a small group of people in a little place in the East. A people who were attentive and ready for a receptive new work of God. There was an old childless couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they were told they would bear a son who will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. A young girl is told that the power of the Holy Spirit would overshadow her and she would conceive in her the Holy One, the Son of God. Both Zechariah, the old dad, and Mary, the young girl, were enabled to sing songs of prophecy, the song that Chaz has just read to us. And Simeon, an old, devout man who had the Holy Spirit on him. He remained in the temple precincts, waiting for the fulfillment of a promise that God had given him, that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And when Mary and Joseph come to make the customary purification offering after a birth, he's there waiting. And he takes Jesus into his arms and praises God, saying, I can now die. I can now be dismissed in peace because I have seen God's salvation. The Holy Spirit prepared these people to recognize the significance of Jesus' birth, that he is the promised one written about in the prophets, Emmanuel, God with us, the one who would comfort and redeem his people. The Holy Spirit, the active agent of creation at the beginning of time, performs another miraculous act of creation as he overshadows young Mary. This is something that theologians and people have wrestled with for centuries. This baby she will bear is not the product of human race, but the result of the recreative power of God working within humanity to bring to birth a unique child. A unique child who will bring and enable the rebirth of a new people. Us, the church. Jesus was not born in the Spirit, then left to his own devices. He was born in the Spirit in order to live in the Spirit. As a child, Jesus grows in wisdom and favor with God and people, but it's at his baptism that his ministry really kicks off. All four records of Jesus' life in the Bible note that Jesus' baptism is very significant. It's on this occasion that the Father and the Spirit join with the Son in making it clear who Jesus is. And what Jesus is about to do is publicly affirmed and acknowledged as God's action. This is Mark's account. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And at once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, a beautiful cameo of the Trinity at Jesus' baptism. And after his baptism, the Spirit remains with Jesus, and the Spirit enables him to fulfill the mission for what he had been sent into the world to do. Jesus publicly acknowledges this in the first time he reads from the scriptures after his baptism. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight of the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So often we think that Jesus did what he did on his earth, the miracles, the compassion, the authority over sickness and creation, the self-control, the single-mindedness, the sinlessness, the passion for God's kingdom. We think he does all that because, well, he was God. But Scripture teaches us that he was only able to do all these things because he was anointed and enabled by the Spirit. Don't get me wrong, Jesus was and is unique in that he is the Word who was with God from the beginning. He was fully human. Excuse me, I have to drink. I've got something in my throat. Bear with. Might take these off too. It's my throat. You're not making me cry. Jesus was fully human. and fully God, but he selflessly chose to empty himself of a word I've made up, which is godness. He just emptied himself because he could. We know this because Jesus, the man, didn't know everything. He was confined in space and time. He was confined to a body, even capable of dying. It was the Spirit's action in him that enabled him to carry out the Father's will, to continue his sinless, perfect life, in order that he could show us how to be fully human, how to live in relationship with God, and also so that he could be the sinless Lamb of God who took away the sins of the earth. Throughout Jesus' life, Father, Son, and Spirit continue to work in perfect unity, enabling God's love for the world to be seen and experienced and actioned. Why is this important? Why am I bothering to tell you this? Well, if Jesus could do the things simply because he was God, we have no common ground with him. There's no connection between us and him. We can't relate to him because he's not like us. But if we grasp the truth that he was able to do the things he did, be the person he was, because he was full of and enabled by the Holy Spirit, well, that gives us hope, doesn't it? Because Jesus tells us that the Father is willing to give us that same Spirit too. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? If he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And Jesus tells his disciples, when you were brought before the synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at the time what you should say. Jesus knows that he is able to perfectly obey the Father, to fulfill his ministry because he has the anointing and enabling of the Holy Spirit. And he is equally confident that those who follow him will be able to continue his ministry, to bring about God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, because we too, have that same gift, the same power, the same truth-teaching, holy-making Spirit available to us. What an amazing gift. Hold that thought. Back to Jesus. Not only are we unable to understand the life and ministry of Jesus other than in absolute dependence on the Holy Spirit, but also the Holy Spirit was ever present and enabling him during his self-sacrifice, his self-offering, his death and resurrection. James and I came across this sculpture in a remote church in the Alps in France many years ago. It's a brilliant example of the Holy Spirit in the creative arts, bringing forth light and truth. This piece of art, when we first saw it, had a profound effect on us. And it still moves me as I believe it graphically portrays the truth that what Jesus did embracing the cross was totally the will of God the Father. And that even in his pain and desolation, Jesus was enabled to endure the cross through the consoling and constant presence of his Spirit. What was accomplished on the cross is the supreme expression of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, in his love for humanity. Jesus is front and center. He's the one on the cross. But it's the work of God that he undertook there. As the anonymous writer of Hebrews says, how much more then, with the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. The cross is a wonderful Trinitarian act of love that once again enabled God and humankind to have a restored relationship, to once again experience community between a holy God and a redeemed, forgiven, cleansed humanity. So Jesus died. What happens next is a mystery and a most wonderful miracle. From Friday to Sunday, Jesus was well and truly dead. But the spirit did see and friendship and strengthening and peace with God, day in, day out. Jesus, God the Son, was confined to a body, to one place and time. But now we have the Spirit with us always, everywhere, to the end of the age. No limit. The Spirit is not better than Jesus. He doesn't surpass him. Jesus had all the fullness of God dwell in him. Jesus is the last word. But the Spirit is how we know the mind and heart of God. And the Spirit is how we know the heart and mind of Jesus now. The Spirit takes us into the fullness of Jesus. He reminds us, he counsels us, he guides us, he comforts us. He enables us to become more and more like Jesus. We learned earlier that Jesus was enabled to live as he did, obey the Father, demonstrate God's kingdom, his values, his priorities, his love, to heal, to comfort, to teach, and be holy, because he was totally dependent on the Spirit. Well, the same is true for us. We cannot live as God intended, obey the Father, demonstrate God's kingdom, his values, his priorities, to love, heal, comfort, teach, and be holy without the empowering and enabling of the Spirit. We are not made holy by following rules. We are not made holy by living a good life, being good moral people, though we'd like to think that. We can only be made holy by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, purifying us and making us like Jesus. So what? What difference does this teaching make to us this week? Well, hopefully at the very least, you will be encouraged once again by the significance and value that God places on humanity. We are loved. God has gone to every length to tell us that we are loved and to bring us back into fellowship with him. I hope that encourages you. But in giving us Jesus, God has shown, I am with you. To the people on London Bridge, I am with you. To the people in Kabul, I am with you. To those Coptic Christians who seem to be persecuted again and again, I am with you. In giving Jesus, God by his Spirit has shown he fully understands what it is to be human. In giving us Jesus, God by his Spirit has shown that we can overcome temptation. We can live as Jesus lived, totally dependent and empowered by the Holy Spirit. In giving us Jesus, God by his Spirit has opened the way, made everything possible to enable us to live in relationship with God, to be reconciled to him. In giving us Jesus, God by his Spirit has brought us into a new resurrection people. That's who we are. Talking about this with Jean this week. We are people who will pass like Jesus through death into eternal life with him. Jean likes to think she's got a little room. I've told her she's got a mansion. We have, because of Jesus, because of his gift by the Spirit, we are new resurrection people that will live forever with God. In giving us the Spirit, Jesus shows us that he will always be with us. It's his presence that the Spirit brings to us. We are never alone. In giving us the Spirit, Jesus gives us the very same power and means to continue his ministry, to be ordinary people, making this extraordinary God known, so that we can come as we are, join in and be transformed. To see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In giving us the Spirit, Jesus enables us to speak words of wisdom, to perform miracles, to know his truth. In giving us the Spirit, Jesus enables us to be holy, to become more and more like him. We are loved. We are never alone. We've been given the gift of Jesus' presence, his Spirit, to be with us always, through life, through death, and into eternity. We've been given the same indwelling power in us that raised Christ from the dead. So we can get out of bed. and face another day. We can demonstrate compassion in the face of frustration or rejection. We can face the screen and write that difficult letter. We can speak of the hope that we have in God. We can be and do things that show others God's love, amazing love for this world, his love for all people. We can do all things through him who gives us strength. Will you stand with me? Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have given us Jesus. We thank you that you enabled him to live the sinless life so that he could offer himself to be the sacrifice that was sufficient so that we can know you. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you show what unity and love in the Father, Son, and Spirit is like. And Jesus, we thank you for giving us the Spirit so that we can continue your ministry and your work. Fill us now, we pray, so that we can be your church in this place. Fill us with your Spirit so that we may know you are with us. Fill us by your Spirit so that we can know we are loved and known. Fill us by your Spirit so that we can pass that knowledge on to a world that needs to know your love and your care. Fill us by your Spirit so that your kingdom may come on earth as it is in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.